We'll turn to Matthew 22. We're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of Matthew. And remember, Matthew presents Jesus the King. It was amazing that almost all of the songs this morning dealt with Jesus being the King. I think that's beautiful. We're now in near the end of his life and ministry. We've studied through the Gospel of Matthew. We've come to basically getting back about Matthew chapter 21. We're chapter 22 today. But starting then, we're in the last week of his life. He has entered Jerusalem, and he's only about 6 or 7 days left before in his life. And he's in the middle of confrontation with the religious leaders. They've seen him. They're rejecting him. They've come and asked him about his authority, all these things. They're doing that. He has cleansed out the temple, turned over the things. As he came to the city, people were shouting, "Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So they've done all this. Well, in response to their challenging his authority, he gives them three parables. And if you remember the three parables, we've already seen the first one, which is the parable of two sons. We've already seen the second one, the parable of the vineyard, that was last time. Well, this time we're going to see the parable of the wedding feast. The king, in his parable, sends out his servants to tell those who had already been invited to come, they refused to come. What will the king do? We may not realize this, but our great God and Savior, the king, has sent out an invitation to us. All who are weary and heavy laden, all who want to take the free gift of the water of life can come. And so we've been given an invitation as well. Let's talk about weddings for just a second. Weddings are a very special time. I've got a wedding coming up in about a week that I get to do. It's a privilege to be involved and seeing two people come together. It's really great. During a wedding, there's always something that happens. I mean, literally, something happens. Sometimes it's funny things. Sometimes it's not so funny. I did a wedding where the groom that was when I was coaching at Mississippi State is one of our football players, and they were going to kneel and have a prayer toward the end, and some of the other guys got up there and put powder all over it. And so when he stood up at the end, his knees and everything were all white, and everybody was laughing at him. And I did one where they had a unity candle, and the couple lit the unity candle, but they didn't blow out the other candles, and they came back, and then they looked back, and they looked at the crowd, and then they went back up there and blew out the candles. And when Jean and I got married, Jean gave her bouquet to Barbara, and then the bouquets got mixed up, got tangled together, and while we were doing the final prayer before we leave, the two pastors basically were trying to undo the bouquets and everything. There's a lot of tradition in weddings. Bride's family sits on one side, groom's on the other. They come out in a certain order. There's music played, traditions for the bride and groom. They give presents and things, and there's a rehearsal dinner, and there's usually a reception after, and there's old tradition. It's something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. People say, we got to go mess up the car, and tradition is to throw either rice or birdseed, all those kind of things. So many traditions. Well, you may not realize it, but in the biblical time, there were all kind of traditions as well. We've already talked about that. If a guy wanted to marry somebody, it was usually set up by the parents, and he would go and bring money to give to the father, and then they would, he would set out a little wine, and the bride would come in, or the one that he was asking to marry would come in, and if basically she drank and he drank, they were betrothed, and they were going to be married. But if she didn't, if she left the room, it was all over. But on the wedding day, the groom, usually in Israel, was carried by the family and friends to the house of the bride. They would get the bride, and they would all be carried back to the father's house, basically. And this is where the ceremony and then the wedding feast would begin. So I want you to understand, though, in that day and time, there was the ceremony, and then there was a feast. Sometimes the feast could last 7 days, but they're two different things. And when we're reading this passage, sometimes it kind of mixes up that but the last part of it is dealing with the feast, and we're going to look at that. There may be some things that we talk about this morning that you've never heard or that you've never seen. If you remember back in Matthew a little earlier, there was a place where Jesus talked about the outer darkness. Now, most everybody, when you hear the words outer darkness, what do you think of? You think of the lake of fire. But the outer darkness is only found in Matthew. It's only found three times in Matthew, and it's always connected with the wedding feast. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Let me break down the passage for you. that the wedding feast, the first verses 1 through 7 of the wedding feast, and then the invitation goes to all in the latter part. So let me review for you just for a second. If you remember, there were three parables, the two sons, the vineyard, and the wedding feast. The first two, for sure, show that the religious leaders rejected Jesus Christ and the sons and the vineyard. In fact, if you remember, you're in chapter 22 right now. If you look back in chapter 21 to verse 45, which on my Bible is the same page and everything, it said, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. They knew it. They knew that Jesus was directing this at them, showing the religious leaders were rejecting Jesus Christ, rejecting him as the king. Well, we're going to see one more, and it's dealing with the wedding and the wedding feast. And so I want you to understand, first the wedding and then the banquet. Not everybody was invited to the banquet. I just want you to understand that. So they might have a wedding that anybody would come to the wedding, but the special banquet sometimes, not everybody was invited, and we'll talk about that. So let's look at the parable. You remember, they're really upset because Jesus has given these other two parables, and they were mad about it. And now he's going in chapter 22, he's going to give a third parable. Let's start it. Chapter 22, verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying. Now, so once again, it's a parable. We know that a parable, it comes from the Greek word para bole. Para means beside. Bole means to throw. A parable is something thrown beside to help explain something. So he's given a parable to show religious leaders reject Jesus Christ. And so look what he says. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, here's the parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. So he's got the wedding, the feast, everything's going on. And he says, the kingdom of heaven, being in the kingdom, being at the feast, this may be like this parable. So here's what he says. And he sent out, verse 3, he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Now, they had been invited already. In fact, I want you to understand that the invitation didn't come out like a week before or 2 weeks before. Sometimes it came a year before. And I want you to think about the customs. There were two invitations. There was an invitation to the wedding, and there was also an invitation to the feast. And so he called those who had been invited. It says they sent out slaves to call those, to invite them. Come on, you've been invited. Come on to the wedding and to the wedding feast. They were expected to be there. But notice, he sent out slaves to those who had been invited, and they were unwilling to come. It says they were unwilling to come. They refused to come. Now, think about this. He's using this story, and most people who are listening to this, especially these religious leaders, they're about to pick up on what's happening because they've already been the story of these other two parables. They got a feeling that they're the story of this parable, but they're saying, you mean somebody got invited to a wedding, and then when the time came, they didn't go, right? So again, that's verse 4, he says, again, he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and the fatted livestock, everything's ready, it's all butchered, everything is ready, come to the wedding feast. Now, by the way, most of the time, this may have been three times. First of all, at the betrothal, certain people were invited. Then this is the first call. Now this is the second call. So basically, they've had three times that they know that it's time for them to come. I want you to notice their response. Verse 5 says, but they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. So I want you to see how they responded. Two different things, one with indifference, one with hostility. Look again at verse 5, but they paid no attention. They went on their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. That was indifference. They actually paid no attention. It's like, hey, you know, it's time for the wedding and the feast and everything. I want you to come. And they go, I mean, they don't even listen to them. It's like, what? And then, but there's something else, though. The rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. There's hostility. They actually kill them. There's more than indifference. They went after them. And so in Matthew 22:6, it says, they killed the slaves. They killed his workers is basically what it was. As a whole, they were indifferent to the invitation. They actually killed some of the servants. Now, think about this. What is it all about? We're going to see it more in a minute, but this is God offering the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And how did they respond? Indifference, or they kill the slaves. The slaves, of course, are going to be the prophets. And so look what he goes on to say. Now listen, they're listening. It says, but the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Now, Why would he say that? And that's really extreme. Well, it's a picture, I think. And if you think about it, it's the picture. He's going to destroy the murderers. That's his plan. He's going to destroy the murderers. Because you remember, these people were murderers. And so let's stop for a second and let's see the flow. The king, of course, is God the Father. The Son is Jesus Christ. The feast is the invitation to the wedding and the banquet, which is called, we'd say, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I want you to remember that when Jesus Christ comes, he sets up a kingdom. This is the kingdom. Anyone who believes in the Messiah, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, that's the kingdom. Now, there is a wedding feast at the very beginning. If you get in the book of Revelation, we're going to show you later on. At the beginning of the kingdom, there is the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's different than the kingdom. Being in the kingdom is different than being at the wedding feast. And so what we realize is that not everybody, and we'll talk about it, we've talked about this before, not everybody who's in the kingdom, that means who has eternal life, gets to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Only faithful. Let me show you. And so here's the picture. The invited is the nation of Israel, and the religious leaders, the workers, the slaves, really are the prophets who are their job is to turn the nation to God. They had been invited. They were God's chosen people, his nation, and they're invited to be with him. But what happened? They refused. They were unwilling. The nation of Israel rejected him. We have seen all through the book of Matthew that Matthew presents Jesus as the king, and he's offered himself over and over as the king of Israel, and they rejected him. And the last major offer was when he rode into the city on the donkeys, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. He comes into the city on a donkey. The people are shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes in, and do they accept him? No. In fact, the religious leaders now are confronting him and asking him, where do you get this authority to do these sort of things? They were unwilling. Now, as we look at this, prophets came, and they were the ones rejected. The prophets sent the message over and over. Probably the last prophet to be rejected would be John the Baptist, and they killed him. That was the plan. He was rejected. And so he says, the king was enraged. He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. We would say, why set their city on fire? Why did he bring that out? Because you know what's going to happen. You know what happened after the nation of Israel rejected Jesus. Of course, he died and rose again, sent into heaven, and the church age started. The nation of Israel then was invaded by the Romans, and the city was destroyed in A.D. 70. Jerusalem was burned, and the temple was destroyed, and this is the picture of the coming destruction. He's actually telling them the city's going to be destroyed, and it was. And the Jewish people were scattered all over the world, and it wasn't until 1948 that they came back together again. This is amazing. And so Jesus warns them. He's given them a warning. It's a picture of the destruction of the nation of Israel. Now, the emphasis in this passage is the rejection. I want you to think about it. They were invited. Jesus said, come all who are weary. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the king. I'm the savior. And they rejected him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to do what? Condemn the world, but through the world might be saved. He that believes is what? Not condemned. But he that believes not is what? Condemned already. Why? Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the invitation has gone out. We're going to talk more about this in just a minute, how it went out. But this first part of the parable says, God sent the message to the Jewish people, and they rejected him. And because of their rejection, there's judgment. But we got to go to the second half of the parable. Watch what happens. Then he said to his slaves, this is verse 8, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. He says, go out and invite anybody you can find, everybody. And so the message of the kingdom and the banquet is now open to all. When Jesus came to the nation of Israel, they rejected him. And if you remember at the very end of the book, now we've said that all throughout Matthew, Jesus goes to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's offered himself to Israel. At the very end, Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came up and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just the Jews. And so this is a change. The plan is now to everyone. And so he says, send it out. Tell them everybody's ready. Go to the highways, and as many as you can find there, invite them there. And so the slaves went out into the streets, and they gathered together all they could find, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with the dinner guests. Look, many accepted the invitation. When he says evil and good, people say, what does that really mean? There's different views on that, but I think it's the idea is that all human beings they're evil and good. I mean, they've all, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. And when he says evil and good, he's saying to everyone. Some people have interpreted this that the evil and good, the evil would be the Gentiles, the good would be the Jews, and it's still offered to all people. I don't accept that. I just think he's saying that when you see, you get all people and you invite all people. So the banquet. Many have accepted the invitation, and now the banquet. And remember this. Now, this is a key. All who believe enter the kingdom. You understand that? Any human being who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is in the kingdom of God, but only the faithful enter the feast. The wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, I've taught this many times. I just want you to understand this, that everybody who's ever trusted in Jesus Christ, before Jesus died on the cross, people in the Old Testament who believed in the coming Messiah and trusted him, we're all going to be in the kingdom. There is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, which is at the very beginning of the kingdom. It's called his partners. It's called closest ones. What we realize is that everyone who lived for Christ, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, they're going to be in the wedding feast. You're going to get to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Some of us won't be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If we don't live for Christ, if we don't serve him, all that, we won't be there. So just understand, anyone who believes will enter the kingdom, but only faithful. And you may say, well, how do we know this? Well, watch what happens. Look, verse 11. When the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. What? What are we talking about? What does that mean? Man's not dressed in wedding clothes. He was not wearing the right garments. Now, what we understand from history and what we understand from their traditions is you have the big wedding, but the wedding feast was so unique and special that those who were invited to the wedding feast got certain garments when they came in. They had certain clothes that they would say, you're coming in, here's your clothes, and they would wear it, but probably something on the outside. He comes in, and there's a man there, he didn't got the right clothes on. That means he wasn't invited. That doesn't mean he's not in the kingdom. It means he's not supposed to be at the wedding feast. Do you understand? So watch. He said that the king came in and looked over the dinner guest. He saw a man who was not dressed in the clothes. He didn't have the special garments that were given to him. And he didn't have these garments. Now remember, there is a difference being at the wedding and being at the banquet. He's not supposed to be at the banquet. Why? Technically speaking, he wasn't faithful. A believer, but not faithful. So watch what happens. He said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? I mean, in other words, you're supposed to have been given that when you came in. Where is it? And the man was what? Speechless. You know why? He just tried to get in. There are going to be believers who say, I want to be at the banquet. And he's not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, go to the banquet. He's going to say, you'll be in the outer darkness. Now, I want you to understand, the outer darkness is symbolic of not being at the banquet. The banquet was a place lit up with light and dancing and everything, and outer darkness was outside the banquet. That's what it is. And so watch what happens. He said, friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. He wasn't prepared for the banquet. He's a believer, but he's not faithful. Watch what happens. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and throw him in the outer darkness in a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want you to understand the outer darkness does not refer to hell, to the lake of fire, but to a place outside the banquet. Now, I know that most of you heard all your life that outer darkness is the place of the lake of fire and hell. Outer darkness is found three times in the scripture. It is all found every time in the Gospel of Matthew. Three times, all in the Gospel of Matthew, and all dealing with the marriage feast. So to be in the outer darkness is not to be in hell. To be in outer darkness is to miss being in the wedding banquet. That's what it's all about. And so three times in Matthew, it says, if you remember several weeks ago, maybe it's been longer than that, it's back in Matthew chapter 8. In fact, let me show you something. In Matthew chapter 8, Listen to what he says. Well, let me throw this out. All who believe in Jesus Christ will be in the kingdom, but only those who are faithful will be in the thing. And now look, here it is. But the sons of the kingdom, now sons of the kingdom are believers. Sons of the kingdom are believers. Are you sons of the kingdom, children of the kingdom? You are. Look what it says here. But sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness, and that place they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why will some believers be sad and upset being in the outer darkness? Why? Because they're not at the what? They're not at the feast. Just remember that. And so here's, he's showing this. Here's some guy who showed up without the right stuff, and he says, you're going to be thrown out, bind him hand and foot, throw him in the outer darkness in a place they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it's real sad. But be careful. Whenever you say, okay, that must mean they go to hell, then find every place that you can find outer darkness, see what it says, and see if you can put it together. But then it goes on to say, for many are called, but a few are chosen. Many are called to come to the wedding, the kingdom, but few are chosen to be faithful at the banquet. So I want you to think about this. After rejection by the nation and the religious leaders, the king sends out the workers to call anyone, and the message is for everyone to come. And whoever comes, and listen, there are people who put their faith in Jesus Christ and are not faithful believers at all. And when they enter the kingdom, they want to get to be at the banquet. Sometimes people say, well, that seems bad. No, no. Why does Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant? He won't say that to everybody. And we see that here. Now, I've got something to help you. Understand that the banquet and the wedding feast, the wedding feast is different from the kingdom. Now watch. Remember, this is the kingdom. And that's for anyone, Old Testament, church, tribulation, anybody that believes in the Messiah, they're going to be in the kingdom. But the banquet, which is at the very first in this chart, I didn't put it, but the banquet is at the beginning of the thousand-year reign. We'll see it in just a minute. That banquet is for faithful believers, faithful believers. And so that's how it fits. Now, I've got something I want to show you so that I might help you put everything together. There are two aspects we're looking at, the wedding and the feast. There's wedding clothing. Now, watch this. There are two types of clothing for believers. There's clothing for salvation to enter the kingdom, and there's clothing for the banquet, and they're two different things. Clothing for salvation comes by faith. We are clothed in the righteousness of God. Romans 4, 5, to him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God gives us his righteousness. And sometimes the Bible talks about being clothed in his righteousness. That's for salvation. But notice this. There is clothing for the banquet, and the clothing for the banquet comes by our faithfulness. And you go, really? Watch this. Now, it's a long one, but I want to show you this. Revelation 19, this is the banquet. Let us rejoice and be glad to give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Here we go. He has given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. What is this? The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. This clothing for the banquet is the righteous acts of the saints. Notice, right then, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Those who get invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, who are clothed bright and clean. And what is this clothing? The righteous acts of the saints. So there's two different aspects of clothing. There's clothed in God's righteousness, which comes by faith. There is clothing when we righteously live for Jesus Christ and he rewards us. Who gets invited to the supper, the banquet, the feast? Those clothed in the righteous acts of the saints. So I want you to think about this. Here's the summary. The invitation went out to the nation to come to the wedding and to the banquet. The nation rejected, and there's judgment coming. And it did come already. The invitation went out to all, that's everybody, by faith come to the wedding, by faithfulness come to the banquet. We must be clothed in the righteous acts of believers to be in the banquet. So I want you to grasp it, that one day everyone who's ever believed will be in the kingdom and will be there 1,000 years and then for all eternity. Everyone who has believed and been faithful will be at the banquet. And it, one other place back over in Matthew, Jesus talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and everybody sitting down at the table. And he said, but some of the sons of the kingdom will be outside of the table, will be outside because they weren't faithful. So let me give you some applications, okay? First one is this. Let's understand that God's invitation has gone out to all people. The invitation is to all people. In the Gospel of Matthew, most of the Gospel of Matthew, he shows that it goes just to the nation of Israel. And then now he begins to say, but it's open to all. Whoever believes will enter the kingdom of God. That's salvation. Whoever rejects, there'll be separation. Second, let's understand that entering the kingdom and the wedding banquet are two different things. We enter the kingdom by faith. We enter the kingdom by faith. All believers are part of the kingdom. All believers are part. Second, we enter the banquet by faithfulness. Faithful believers are a part of the banquet. Now, this may be new to some of you that you've never heard this, that you thought everybody, when we say everybody talks about going to heaven, well, the truth is we're talking about the kingdom. And everybody says, well, everybody's going to be the same in the kingdom. No, they're not. Everybody's going to have different responsibilities based on their service. Everybody gets to do everything in the kingdom. No, they do not. Those who have been faithful will get to be at the banquet. Those who are not faithful will not get to be at the banquet, faithful believers. And then the last thing to remember, understand there are two types of clothing. We are clothed in God's righteousness by faith to enter the kingdom. Romans 4:5 and Philippians 3:9 both say we get his righteousness. We are clothed in our righteous acts to enter the banquet. That's Revelation 19:7, 8, and 9. What a passage. So you've seen some strange things today. You've seen what is the outer darkness? That understand that not everybody who gets into the kingdom gets to go to the banquet. So there's some hard things there.